Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone, to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show. I'm Sharon Angle here with my co-host, Dr. Nasser Sheikh. And if you'd like to hear a rebroadcast of our show, check out our website, ccrshow.com, ccrshow.com. And, of course, you can also go to our television website, aun-tv.com, aun-tv.com. And with that, Nasser, our guest is ready. Would you please introduce him?
Thank you, Sharon. We have Tim Bryce. He's a freelance writer residing in the Tampa Bay area, Florida. He's an avid writer, speaker, and he has his own blog titled, and I love this, The Bryce is Right. It's read by hundreds of thousands of people worldwide. He's also been published in a variety of publications, Washington Times and the Huffington Post. He's got a new book out as well. It's called Before You Vote, Know How Your Government Works. What American youth should know about government. Well, I'll tell you what, it looks like our government is definitely broken. So I hope your book out there can fix the things that are happening, Tim. But we welcome you to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here again. Yeah, it's kind of interesting on the book, Before You Vote. I find what we're going through right now is just a great civics lesson, you know, in terms of the recall and the evidence on that and what's going to happen. And we talked about that with Sharon last time with about Amendment 12 and how that happened. But this is fascinating times we're going through from a historical perspective.
Oh, Tim, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, off air before we started, I was talking with Sharon and saying that, you know, we always believed that we were at a crossroads. I believe 2016 was a crossroads because if Hillary Clinton had been elected, you know, that would have been another continuation of the Obama monarchy. It would have just been, you know, her plutocrat authority in terms of going on. I truly believe right now that, and I don't say this, you know, I say this with every fiber of my being, every beat of my heart, because we love this country unconditionally. Mm-hmm. We love America. This is for the soul of our republic. And I really truly believe that that soul of our republic is in the hands of the Supreme Court right now. Because if they don't do what the Constitution mandates, Article 1, Section 4 is what I think this whole thing is predicated upon, I don't know where we go from here. In your article that you talk about living in a news vacuum, can you imagine what's going to happen with the mainstream Marxist media if Biden is allowed to steal this election? Your thoughts.
It's weird. When I wrote that, I wrote it because I felt, you know, lost, living in a vacuum after Fox really botched, you know, the call of the election and so on. And I walked away from them. You know, I've been watching other things and going, trying to find a good, reliable news source. And I can't find it. And I'm going through kind of withdrawal symptoms because getting my information now, for example, you know, today, Texas accepted other states, including Florida, to join the lawsuit, you know, against Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and what have you. And I found out about that through my friends. I didn't find out about any news source at all. And to me, that's kind of scary. You know, it means that I have no reliance on the news at all. It feels kind of like I was in Kansas one time, and I felt like I was landlocked. It's the same kind of feeling. You know, like there's an absence of information out there. And what I think is happening is all of these media outlets are forcing the consumers, the American people, to become reporters themselves and having to do their jobs. And, you know, we haven't got time for that. Most people are trying to, you know, do a real thing. It's like a 24-hour job. To be able to gather the news properly and put it together in a concise form. And I go way back. I was a news junkie for a long time. Going back when I was a kid, you know, my family got the New York Times when we lived out east. I mean, took that, thought that was the gospel. We moved to Chicago, got the Chicago Tribune, thought that was the gospel. You know, both those have got their problems. Then we moved to Cincinnati, got the Cincinnati Inquirer. And then we moved down here, St. Petersburg Times, now the Tampa Bay Times. And they're not good enough to wrap fish with, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I'm very disappointed in what I see out there. You know, then on the radio, we used to listen to radio alerts as you're driving the car. And this was way before Rush even came along, you know, and just regular news type of stuff. Now we don't trust that. As for TV, I'm an old Huntley Brinkley man. You know, I've watched Huntley Brinkley for years. Chet Huntley, I absolutely loved. You could take whatever he said to the bank, as far as I'm concerned. Then you had John Chancellor follow him. And then Brokaw came along following Chancellor. And that's when I started to notice that NBC was changing, you know, its theme. And then Brian Williams came along, and I go, oh, this guy's an idiot. You know, I don't know who believes this guy at all, you know. And then you have, you know, the cable news network, CNN and MSNBC. And none of those guys, they speak with forked tongue, as I would say. It's kind of scary. I'd watch a presidential speech or something in the Senate, and then I'd switch over to them right away, CNN or MSNBC, and listen to their interpretation of it. And I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. I mean, it was that scary. And you may recall that, you know, in 2016, I was traveling with the press corps to go to all the Trump events down here in Florida. And I got to see these guys up close and personal and talk to them. And it, to me, it was just scary. For example, small thing. They'd have all of their copy done before Trump took the podium. I didn't see that just once. I saw it several times. None of them would stand up for, let's say, the invocation, which is a non-denominational prayer, and very few stood up for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, which it was how you always start a Trump rally. And I don't get it. These guys, I would leave the press area, and I would go on up with the people because I'd want to interview them. I said, what do you think? You tell me your thoughts. And they were surprised that the media would talk to them, you know? And it was just very, very interesting. But it's very sad now to go on out and not get reliable news anywhere. And it's scary. That's why this show, Conservative Commandos, and others like it, are so important right now.
No, you're so right. And the thing is, for example, this, you know, people have talked about this, and they talk about that it was this whole globalist, you know, mentality at one time where you had these, you know, technical and these, you know, these big time companies are coming up. Like, for example, if you wanted to be, you know, in the banking business, you know, you were going to Charlotte or North Carolina, or you were going to, you know, New York, Manhattan. If you wanted to be in, let's say, you know, the music industry, you know, you'd have to go down to, you know, Tennessee or whatever, or down to, you know, those areas. Or if you wanted to be in certain areas, you know, you had to go to that place and you had to be there. But right now, as you said, everything is becoming more and more fractured. It's becoming more of like a network society where, like you said, anybody with a camera, anybody, you know, with a recorder, you know, can literally become a journalist, you know, that day, or report on something and post it up to YouTube, depending upon whether or not these fascist and Nazi people at YouTube and Twitter and these other places allow that stuff to be uploaded. But that's what's happening. You could have this story, but guess what? They might not let you have access to the internet to put it out there.
Right. Well, let me give you another example. Last week, remember Trump came on out and said this is going to be the most important speech I ever gave. And I listened to him carefully as the whole thing. It was like 45 minutes long. I listened to it. And I believed him when he said, I've got sworn affidavits to do this and that. And we've caught people doing this and that and so on, you know, and it sounded good. And I said, okay, good speech, okay. And the next day, I'm reading from the press, the printed media out there saying, oh, well, Trump introduces no new evidence at all to this thing, and it's the same old hackneyed speech that he puts on like that. And, you know, that's where you realize these guys are out to get him big time. This is not fair and balanced by any stretch of the imagination. This is evil. This is just totally fractured out there.
Absolutely. And remember, this didn't occur just now. We were talking that 17 minutes into the inauguration speech, all right, these people had already put stuff out there. You can go and take a look. They were calling that speech dark.
Right.
That this was darkening times in the United States of America. And like you said, you take a look at that and you go, are we watching the same thing?
Exactly. You know, that's it. I mean, it's like comparing English to Swahili. I mean, that's how these guys try to translate it. You know, I don't know what they're talking about. And it's all very deliberate, obviously. So you got to wonder who's behind it all. And I would like to see some sort of journalistic syndicate come on up. Somebody's got to take the Associated Press down. Man, are those guys out of control. They actually think they are the Electoral College for some reason or other. I got news for you, pal. That's not your responsibility.
Well, Tim, listen, we've got to take a quick break here. We'd love to hold you over for another segment. Can you do so?
Sure.
Well, you're listening and watching us here on the Conservative Commandos Radio Show and on the AUN-TV Network Broadcasting System in California. We've been speaking here with Tim Bryce, who has his own blog entitled The Bryce is Right. And we've been talking to him about his article and what is going to be happening as we go further to the United States of America. His article, Living in a News Vacuum. Folks, for the time being, we're still a capitalist country. We've got some wonderful sponsors. They're great patriots. So stick around, listen to and watch what they have to say. Do some business with them. And we'll be back on the other side with my co-host, Sharon Engel. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Tim Bryce in just a couple of minutes.
What American youth should know about the government. And I'm not sure it's just the youth, Tim. We've been talking to Tim about living in a news vacuum. And this isn't new news. As you and Nasser were talking about, this isn't something that just happened. When I was running against Harry Reid in 2010, I can remember spending 2.5 hours with a newspaper, a reporter and a photographer, and they just followed me everywhere with their cameras for 2.5 hours. They just got nonstop whatever I said. At the end of the event, I went with my husband to the car, and we got in the car. You know, it was on the news was Sharon Engel runs from the press. And there they showed me getting into the car with my husband. That was the whole story. So when you said they've written the story before they even go to get the story, that was what they were waiting for me, was not for me to do anything at that event, not to interview with me, not to ask me any questions about issues. They had a story already written, and they were just waiting for me to leave so that they could flash the story. Sharon Engel runs from the press. So when I first met the president in 2015, the first thing he said to me was, "You took a lot of incoming, didn't you?" And I think that's true. We've had this war with the press going on for at least the last 10 years that I know of. And it is a lot of incoming. And that's why we feel like we're living in the vacuum. It's not because of the lack of news. It's that the news is so antagonistic toward freedom.
That's right. And let's do a little history here. I believe this all began under LBJ. Remember when Ellsberg came on out with the Pentagon Papers, which admittedly was under the Nixon administration. That was the New York Times, and it was very antagonistic. That's when it started to build up. And then when the Nixon tapes came along, I don't say impeachment because he was never impeached. They were just ready to get him. They were after him. They drove him out after the first election in 1960. And now in 68 and during his whole administration, they were on his case the whole time. And then we got worse. And, you know, they went to bat to support Clinton during his impeachment trial. And then they went after George W. Bush. Why Bush thinks, you know, the press is okay is beyond me. Remember, he said he was the worst president we ever had, and it was just crazy. And now we have Trump. By the way, my contention is, remember, we used to have 16 guys running for the Republican Party back in 2016. The whole slate of them. I don't care. Trump happened to win it. Whoever was going to win, they would have gotten the same treatment. It's not a matter of Trump's personality. It's a matter of being a Republican and having some conservative values. That's what it's about. They don't want anybody in their way. And it's, you know, it's like Sherman's march to the ocean.
Well, you couldn't have said that more clearly, I don't think, Tim Bryce. You know, I've just watched them crucify conservatives, even though Ted Cruz lost the presidential nomination. They didn't let up on him, did they?
No, they're not at all. They still hate him. And, you know, Cruz has volunteered to argue before the Supreme Court this Texas case, which I think is going to be wonderful, and also not too bad for his political stance, I guess. Mm-hmm. But Don't be surprised. Ted Cruz is the next runner, you know, regardless what happens in this election, you know, because this election is not over. It's far from over. And people keep saying, oh, it is. And I heard today, too, something about YouTube will shut you down if you have anything that says question the validity of the election. And I go, you're kidding me. How can they do that?
Because Adolf Hitler has risen from the grave again.
I wish
CEO
people
would, of Twitter.
Can you imagine Joseph Goebbels today? Joseph Goebbels would be drooling all over his keyboard with Google and Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. He would run that thing. It's the perfect storm for Joseph Goebbels. He would love it. Everybody else would go nuts. But I don't think we're going to get a really decent thing from the media. As you heard me talk before, that there was $11 billion the media got as a result of, you know, this campaign, of the 2020 campaign. $11 billion. Holy smokes. That's a lot of money. And can't we do something better with that money than give it to the media and keep fueling this monster that's out of control? I mean, let's have something for an infrastructure or something like that. See, if we shorten the electoral cycle, you know, made it, let's say, like other countries, like 3 or 4 months, hey, that's much better. The media gets less muscle out of that thing. Or how about for every dollar spent on the media, another dollar has to be spent for infrastructure or something like that? That'll make them think twice about, you know, where the money's going to, and it'll, you know, shortchange the media somewhat. This madness has to stop, because these guys are doing irreparable damage as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that always brings up the question, where do they get that money, Tim Bryce? Because I'm certainly not watching, and I'm not patronizing any of their advertisers. So where are they really getting the money to put off this fake news?
It's coming from the campaigns. They got to advertise. They got to get out there, you know. Down here in Florida, which really surprised me, I mean, Biden had one heck of a campaign on television. I was just like, where'd this guy come from? Much more so than Trump. He outspent Trump easily down here. And scuttlebutt that I hear, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard George Soros was paying for all of the Democratic campaign down here in Florida. Hmm. Now, that may be also the true, too. And, I mean, we had different people. We had Pinellas County. We had a Republican running who was very well, came on up through sheriff's department and so on. They put a Democrat against him that knew how to maintain walkie-talkies. He didn't know anything about law enforcement or anything. He knew how to repair walkie-talkies. And his money, he was totally funded by George Soros. And I'm going, what? And people falling for this stuff? And he says, that was just one incident. He says, this is happening throughout Florida.
Well, I think it's happening throughout the United States, Tim Bryce, and people are asking about these court cases that are going on. Well, whenever we've gone to court, and we're a nonpartisan group, just focusing in on election integrity, we've gone 3 times, and all 3 times we've been up against George Soros's law firm, Coy Perkins. So it's just one of those things that you expect when you're on the right. We flee, and the left seems to close ranks behind their minions. We're kind of out of time, Tim. Could you tell us where we can get the news when we have a news vacuum? Because that's really what the Bryce is Right is about, isn't it?
Well, my column is at timbryce.com, B-R-Y-C-E, or just look me up, do a Google search. As to where to find reliable news, I really can't tell you. By the way, I just saw a report before we got on the air here. Newsmax beat Fox News, Martha McCollum's area. That's a first for Newsmax. And that tells you a lot of what's going on, how bad Fox shot themselves in the foot. Anyway,
we all feel the pain of the news vacuum. And as you said, we've all been forced to go out there and find our own sources. And one of those sources is The Bryce is Right at thebryceisright.com. So be sure and check Tim Bryce out. He's watching out for you in a fair and balanced way.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the time. Nice
well, thank
seeing you,
you
again,
Tim.
Sharon, as always.
Thank you so much for being our guest on.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Conservative Commandos Radio Show. Take care and God bless you. We will be right back after these short messages. I'm Sharon Engel here with my co-host, Dr. Nasser Sheikh, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who is the executive director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security and director of the U.S. Nuclear Strategy Forum. He's written an article, The Hill, A Nuclear Pearl Harbor in Our Future. Don't go away. We'll be right back.